venturing back into the Perfect Heart Kings. And you can go ahead and open up to 1 Kings. We'll be here and there in Kings and Chronicles as we go through these studies that the Lord will have for us if he tarry. But we saw last week that it was the perfect heart. Well, it's always, there's only one perfect heart, and that's our wonderful Lord. But he's so gracious, he gives us his heart. Isn't that something? When he said he gave us everything of his, he sure did, didn't he? You think about that. He really did. He gave us his life. And I thank God. We saw that he gave this perfect heart to King David. And I've been really encouraged just to even go back and look at the life of David. Look at his family situation, his brothers, his daddy, his mom, and many of these things about him. And I think God, some way, shape, or form, just will continue to pour this out in this study. But more and more I see about David, I see such a forgotten outcast. Not just a runt of the litter, but almost despised. Might be certain reasons to that. But God had a very precise, intentional outcome. He wanted to magnify his grace. He wanted to show that he could take something that was weak and make it strong. He could take something that was forgotten and make it known. And he could take what he knew was a bloody man and make him a man after God's own heart. Isn't that something? I mean, that's our Lord. But David, praise God, is the benchmark. And we see he's the benchmark in a sense, that heart. And once again, just as the word of God for us says, you follow Paul as he followed Christ. And Paul was even encouraged, you follow me as I follow Christ. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He wasn't ashamed of what the Lord had given him. I thank the Lord for that boldness. And it wasn't to magnify him. It was to magnify the grace of God. He always pointed to the grace of God. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. If you read all of the Psalms, that's what David's saying. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's all mercy, as we've spoke of many times. You ever really want to know about mercy? Know David's heart. There wasn't anybody who spoke about mercy like David spoke about mercy. It's the truth. And I thank God it was just really broken forth and poured forth on that vessel, again, all by the grace of God. Now, there are two things about this perfect heart. It said it was a perfect heart, as you go to chapter 11 of 1 Kings. And sadly, in a way, when we really have this expressed to us in the Word of God, we see that it's in contrast to what happened to his son Solomon. And we saw that Solomon, even last week, at the time in his life where he was fully purposed, when he really did have what you would consider a first love, he loved the Lord. He worshiped God. He appreciated the Lord. His whole rejoicing was in the goodness of the Lord. And he prayed for the people that they would have a perfect heart. He knew what that was. Just as we know what first love is. Amen? And by the grace of God, we fight the good fight of faith, trusting in the grace of God to hold us in that, to let us stand in it and not be moved and not to depart from it. We do not want to end up like the church of Ephesus. I don't want it to be for a time and then I left my first love. Unfortunately, I will have to say this. For most people that truly have known this precious gospel and truly have been in first love, I would venture to guess more of them have fallen out of first love than remained in first love. Not judging, I'm just saying from what I've observed in my heart, what I see in the Word of God. We know that not many go on. They come to a point. But as we were reading last week, is it really the high places of your life? Is it everything? Are you willing to allow him to strip you in a sense, to give you more, to take you like a Samson and bring you to that place where you look the worst. It looks like everything's just done in your life. You're blind. You're taken out of prison. And the Lord's going to finish you and put you right into that hall of fame of the Old Testament worthies just like that. Everybody thought this, but God determined that. And see, that's where we want to stand, on that grace, on that mercy, our hope abounding in what he's given to us. And what he's given, he said he'll perform. And in that good work that he's doing, he said he'll finish. And he said, not you will do it. He said, I will do it. And I think we've read this about every single one that's found in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. He did that work too. It's never changed. What God determines is what God determines. And I thank the Lord in his foreknowledge of what that vessel will receive, he will perform it. He will accomplish it. So I thank God that just as those Israelites were brought out of Egypt, that promise was for every one of them. That land of Canaan was all theirs. He was not a respecter of person. It was for all of them. Yet he's God, and he knew there would only be two that would go in. And it didn't matter because he's God. And he'll determine it for one. But he determined for two. And then in those two, because of the perfect heart that God had given those, the multiplier effect went on. Isn't that magnificent? And that's what we're going to find out as we go into these studies of these two kings specifically. The Lord's faithful. The Lord is faithful. But right here it talks about that perfect heart in chapter 11, verse 4. It said, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. He compromised. He compromised. He allowed things to come into his life that would minister to him things that were not truth. Things that he loved that he would compromise. Maybe not to offend them, to appease them. Not stand because it came into his home. It's vital, brothers and sisters. When it's as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we hold the crown gospel. There isn't anything else. By the grace of God, I pray that the prayer that would be on our lips for every one of our household, for ones that we love, that they would win Christ. That they would finish with a full joy. That they would come to grow to a place, Lord, I'm loving and looking for your appearing. Amen. Well, when his heart was old, when he was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. We studied and read that the likes of Hezekiah and even Asa, who was a good king, they tore down the altars that Solomon built to false gods. But for the grace of God, we would go there, saints. But for the grace of God. This is real. This word is true. And it's a fine line of grace and truth and love and mercy. It said, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Tells you what he went after, all of these things of the pagans, the heathens. All of the false doctrine. And it says in verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. A perfect heart goes fully after the Lord. A perfect heart is fully purposed. I think about the name Ephesians. It means fully purposed. Isn't that interesting? And then yet it was the church at Ephesus that the Lord points out in Revelation, I have one thing against you. You left your first love. You left being fully purposed. You had all this faith. You had all this works. You preached the gospel. You did all these things. Maybe you taught Sunday school class. Maybe all of these different things. But at the end, there was one thing that I wanted. I wanted you. I wanted you for my best. I wanted you with the crown. I wanted to share this with you. Now, it's first love. That's what this is. David was given a heart of first love. Praise God. For what David could have, the Lord faithfully brought to him in its fullness. And here you go. With that heart that God had given David, the fully purposed, perfect heart, you know what that heart does? It prays for the family to have it, and it prays for the people to have it. It cares. That's why Paul said that our love would grow more and more for one another. Because it is. It's the growing of first love. It's the blossoming and the ever abundant fruit upon first love. See, first love is never stagnant. It continues to grow. It gets more fervent to a point that the Lord just has to take it up to him. Praise God. And this is what this is. And I want you to listen to the heart of David. Let's go on over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. And here's David's thanksgiving in prayer at the very end of it. Verse 18. He says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. See, it was all about the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. Why? To keep thy commandments and thy testimonies. See, not departing from thy statutes. And to do all these things. And I love this statement. Oh, what a statement. To build the palace for the which I have made provision. You see what a fully purposed heart does? It's just used of the Lord to give every provision. A ready answer for someone that might inquire. By the grace of God, there is no other gospel. Every opportunity by the grace of God. We're not sizing up people. We're just giving out the word of God. And thank the Lord, we're not ashamed. See, when it's real, brothers and sisters, and when it's a perfect heart, it's not just for you, it's for all. And it's not about you, it's about, praise God, his love. And I thank Jesus for this, and I thank God for this love and this humility. And you see that humility in the life of a perfect heart. You see it in David, you see it in Hezekiah, you see it in Josiah. Men that have been elevated to a great estate. I mean, they were king over Judah at that time. David was king over all the tribes at that time. But yet they knew it was the grace of God that was with them. Yeah, sure, they were born in a bloodline after David. We get that. But it was still the grace of God, period. And they knew it was just the mercy of the Lord that gave that to their father David. They understood that that was a grace line. It wasn't a natural bloodline. It wasn't. It was the love of Christ line. Now, Hezekiah and Josiah, those were the only other two perfect heart kings. But they gave to the people too. And we're going to read about them. They gave all the word of God. When those guys went out to give out the word of God, they brought in everybody. They brought in the young, the old, middle age. You were going to be present. And that reading was going to be the whole counsel of God. It wasn't bits and pieces and we went in to go through the motions. It was everything. And then not only that, those two eliminated in all of the idols in the kingdom. Every false god was gone. They didn't just eliminate it. They ground those, pounded those, destroyed those to powder, that there wouldn't even be a remembrance of them. They were gone. And I love that. It's like pure grace. Pure grace is pure grace. It just grinds into powder everything else. And by the grace of God, you don't want any leaven at all coming in. And you stand in defense of it. And I thank God, if there's ever a time, and in love, but in love to be aggressive, is when that little leaven starts to come in. And whether it is a Peter, right? Paul wasn't shy. Peter was in it longer than him. Peter had a very important title. But Paul said, that's not going to happen here. You might do that for your life, but you're not going to do this to these people. God help us to have a heart like that. Amen? It is that important, saints. If this word is what this word is, which by the grace of God, he's revealed it to us to know, it is worth everything. And I know that the word tells us what will defeat us from it is if we are not found only having his righteousness. That's, if you will, the death knell of it. For me to bring something of my merit or my goodness, something that I've done, whether your reputation, whatever you think it is, that you are better than the person on the third pew or second pew, God forbid. God forbid that we would always highly esteem our brethren even more than ourselves. Amen? Thank you. And that's in the truth. Praise God. Now, removing the idols from the high places. I just so thank God how the Lord brought that out last week. That's the perfect heart testimony. There's a lot of fanfare with everything else. There's a lot of right in the sight of the Lord. But the perfection, brothers and sisters, was it everything? Sometimes the high places are the hardest things to see. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can see the low places. Everybody can see all of this at this level. But that height, that last place, as Brother Hill used to say, am I still just even clipping a little pinky fingernail? I heard a brother said on Sunday, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, let's get rid of it. Amen. And you know what? Isn't he faithful to do it in our lives? I know it's at least weekly for every one of us. I'll go daily with me. But that's what he does. And he's faithful to do it. And you just torment right out of your mind. But yet he comes in and says, I'm working the perfect work, honey. I'm working it. Hallelujah. Now, none of these other kings, even the good ones, went that far. I'm talking about removing the high place idols. Just as today, very few want to go to the high place of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are we really willing and thankful to a degree of first love that it really is only Paul's gospel? Amen. Can you take being offended to stand for the word of God? Can you take by the grace of God? I'm telling you, all the temptation of all the things in the world right now, all of the causes, all of the unjust, all of whatever it is that's trying to wind of doctrine your head out of winning Christ. Is the first love worth it? You encourage me, every single one of you. That's why I'm thanking God for it. I'm so grateful to God. We're all the same in one, but yet, praise be to God, we're all different. You're looking at those pains, you know. You know what? All of them just kind of look the same right now. Matter of fact, don't look like nothing. But when that light goes through them, every one of them is different. All of them bring a beauty, and then all of them together collectively are more beautiful than if one was single. You know what I am saying here? But yet, isn't it something? They're nothing without the light. They're nothing without that light. Brothers and sisters, this is a heart, soul, body that pants after him. This is a life by the grace of God. When you're talking about the high places, that I may win him. A life that there's only one thing about living, to hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We have our livelihoods. We have our things that we do. Everything, every one of us have something different in a different way that the Lord is working this in our lives. But it's the same work. It's the same mercy and grace. It will be the same outcome. It's the love for that wonderful heart of God that he gives us. That's the crown. And that's the truth. We're in love with him. And how he's drawn us and perfected us in such an imperfection. In the imperfect person that you are and I am. But yet because of the perfect working of the Lord. Knowing exactly what you needed and who you needed to be. To fall in love with him. It's miraculous. Every single one of us are different. That's what's so glorious. In a love for the truth. Not just everybody different to gather together to look different. But everybody different. Because that's what the Lord said. I'm going to draw them out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. I'm going to show you who my bride is. She's one. But she's a perfect collection of every one of those panes of glass that makes a masterpiece. Now, I'll tell you what. No idol was getting in the way of that high place. You understand that? No idol. There was nothing between. That's why there were only three that it meant that much to. There's no room for anything but the glory of God. We just want the best. And that, again, sounds so obvious. It sounds like, why would you want anything else? But then here comes reality and living and all of these things. And it becomes, what do you feed upon? What's important to you? Are you distracted? Are these just motions that you go through? Lord, make this alive to me. Make this more real than anything there is. Let my heart go after with everything that's in me. Let me understand the mercy and grace of God. That I'm looking always at Christ in me, the hope of glory. That I'm always looking in you, in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, that's a fully purposed heart. It's a heart, and you'll notice this about these three as we go on. And I include David in this. And you just can't help but go back to David when you're talking about the perfect heart kings. Because he's the benchmark. They're not self-serving. They're not. They're humble and they're full of love. And they really are. They're ecstatic for the truth. And they're ecstatic for the truth for everybody else. It's not just me and my four and no more. They wanted everybody in there. And that's what was so wonderful about these ones. So, let's think about Hezekiah. He's the 13th king of Judah. Josiah was the 16th king of Judah. Number 13 is rebellion. Number 16 is love. Rebellion and love. Let me tell you something. If you don't know now by now that you have to be rebellious to win Christ, you've missed it. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes. Those are two traits of the full overcomers. They're fully purposed and perfect hearts. And the full overcomers of the Old Testament, they had that fierce, rebellious heart. They had the passion to go out unto him from the camp. That's rebellious. They had the passion to break free, hallelujah, and free from the herd to go to Christ alone. You think about the likes of a Joshua and a Caleb. They were not going to go along with the other 10. And the other 10 were the same feelings of the 4 million or 5 million that were out there that says there's no way we can go in there. But those two had a rebellious heart and they said, shame on you, we should be in there right now. And they didn't compromise and they stayed with it and they went in. Because God's promise is God's promise. I thank the Lord. You think about David. We'll get into this. I don't know how the study will go. But boy, when he went to his brother there on the front lines, and his brother said to him, oh, you scamp, you're just being ugly. Well, there's a lot to that and a lot more depth of what he was saying there. What he was trying to say was he wasn't as honorable as his brothers. Probably, because he truly was only a half-brother to him. How dare you come in here? Especially maybe looking at him and thinking, with the mother that you got? Well, let me tell you something about David's mama. She was Mother Grace. But you don't think he had a rebellious heart to be a kid and go in there and say, what are you guys doing? You're allowing this uncircumcised Philistine to curse our God? After the Lord has shown us this, been so merciful to us, shown us for generations that he is the Lord of all. He's God. That's rebellious. You don't think he was a little bit rebellious when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in there? And he was just so excited, he just had to take his clothes off and dance? You don't think that's a little bit rebellious? That wasn't protocol back then. Matter of fact, no one had even seen that. But David was just beyond. And even though it despised, he was despised in the eyes of his own wife, he didn't care. And matter of fact, as he told her, you haven't seen anything yet. He said, if the handmaidens like this one, I'm hanging with them. Praise God. But see, that's what first love is. There's nothing else. It doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter if I'm at my worst. It doesn't matter if I'm Samson and blind in a prison. That's where I'm going to win. Amen? You there? You better be there. And then the Apostle Paul, you think about the rebel he was, facing the Pharisees, even the disciples, as I mentioned about Peter. But then the lover. Oh my goodness, you don't think Philippians is a love book? Ephesians and 2 Timothy especially? Love shed abroad. Now, Hezekiah, his name means strengthened of Jehovah. No other way you're going to win without being strengthened of Jehovah. You have to be strengthened of him. You have to be weak. Submit to the Lord to be strong. You have to come unto him and say, Lord, I can't do this. I know I have no strength. I appreciate the Gideons. I appreciate all these ones that they knew, Lord, there's nothing in me but God. Amen. Now, so we must be strengthened, quickened, sustained, kept in this full state of the Holy Ghost power. And that finishes with joy and love. Now, let's go ahead and begin to talk about these kings. Let's start with Hezekiah here tonight. 2 Kings chapter 18. Going over to 2 Kings chapter 18. Verses 1 through 3. It says, now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And we're going to get into that, God willing. Oh, what a precious study that is. As I told you, with Josiah and Hezekiah, their fathers were wicked, wicked, wicked. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about their moms. Some beautiful stuff about these mamas. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. Praise the Lord. What an encouragement to us. Amen. Now, that's a wonderful thing, but it was even more than the sight of the Lord, and the emphasis is all that his father David did. This was the heart of David. This was the man with the perfect heart that this is referring to. And the reason we know this, and we're just going to touch on this tonight, and we'll get deeper into it as the Lord will take us, is because as we read on verses 4 through 7, this is why we know we're talking about the heart and the perfect heart that was in Hezekiah. The very first thing he does is what in verse 4? He removed which places? The high places. He went to the hardest place first. He went to the top. That was it. We're not messing around with anything. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We don't need to ramp up in this, guys. We're just going at it. I love that. It's like, you know, they never removed any of the high places, but this guy was starting at the place that they didn't remove. I think about that. I just think that's gorgeous. It's beautiful. He didn't want to miss the mark. All the other things, yes, I know that that's important too, but we're going to get those high places. We're going right to Paul's gospel. And Paul's gospel takes care of everything else because it includes the whole counsel of God. And that is so beautiful. Take this. He removed the high places. He break the images. He cut down the groves. I mean, he destroyed it all. He brought in the whole counsel of God. There wasn't anything or any room for anything else. See? He break in pieces. And look what he broke in pieces. The brazen serpent that Moses had made. Now back in Numbers, when the people murmured in the wilderness, the Lord sent out them poisonous vipers and it started biting them and killing them. And they came to Moses and said, oh, we've hurt the Lord. We've disappointed him. You need to help us. God told Moses, he said, you make me a bronze snake. You put it up on that post. And if anybody gets bit, you have them look up at it and they'll be healed. Wonderful. We understand. We know that that's our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was going to take that for us. That sin upon that cross. And in that stripe of death that he took for us, we're healed. But what happened was is they took that and they began to worship it. And that was not going to happen because it was his son. It was the one who would come. It was the blood upon the altar. That's what saves you. This was an encouragement for your life, but this wasn't something to go out and worship. And you see man do that all the time. They do that with a testimony. They do that with something in their life, a relic or whatever it is, and then they begin to worship it. Brothers and sisters, all the idols got to go. It's just him. It was just like they, you know, those disciples, they were going to build altars to the prophets there along with the Lord. Oh, this is good. They've encouraged us. God shut that down. It's only my son. And we've got it all. And it's all been fulfilled. We're at a time, it's all been fulfilled in our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God forbid we would keep a day. We would try to do some type of a ceremony, a tradition. By the grace of God, let's just worship him. And I thank God he's taken us this way. For unto those days, it says, the children of Israel did burn incense in it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in, here's what he did. He removed the high places. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So now listen to this. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him. Notice he rebelled. Isn't that beautiful? See, he was a rebel. Number 13, he rebelled against all of that that was normal. All of that that had been in a sense, the plague, if you will, the normal of even the leaven, the little leaven that's come into Christianity. He rebelled against it. He said, guys, this isn't going to happen. We're not going to have a partial worship to our Lord. It's going to be fully purposed. We're not going to have any of that stuff. That's the heart you want. And you notice, look at, the benchmark of the word of God. He followed and kept the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. Once again, it was like following Paul as he followed Christ. Moses was sincere about the things of God. He knew that. And I thank the Lord that the Lord give us a heart that's sincere for the things of God. Now, I want to take a moment because remember, as we started this study, I mentioned that in these two kings, Hezekiah and Josiah, even as we see, they're the perfect heart kings. You're going to see the types and shadows in this, which are beautiful. Hezekiah will have types and shadows that will represent the full overcomers of the Old Testament. And Josiah, as we'll begin to point out, we're going to point one out right now, will show you the full overcomer type and shadow of the ones in the New Testament, our time, all right? So let's think of Hezekiah, who we just spoke of. It says in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. There's that emphasis of the Lord God of Israel, all right? After him was none like him amongst the kings of Judah. So notice that, again, referencing back to Israel and to Judah and talking about how there's no kings before him like him or before. Now, as we've studied and we've seen the word of God revealed to us by the Holy Ghost, we see these full overcomer Old Testament worthies of faith. We see them as that cloud of witness or the 24 elders that we see in Revelation 4 that are round about the throne. And we see within that throne, we understand, is a company of saints. And those are the company of the four living ones that we see all the way through the word of God that are and represent the bride of Christ. Everything about those 24, their elders, the number 24, all of that's representative. All of that's representative of the full overcomer Old Testament worthies of faith. So again, you'll see this in what we're talking about right now, represented in Hezekiah. So let's go over and see the contrast in Josiah, the other perfect-hearted king. Let's go to 2 Kings, verse 23 through 25. And that's 2 Kings, chapter 23, and we'll go to verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25. Don't want to get too excited here. I'll give you the wrong numbers. All right. Now, this is speaking of Josiah here. And it's, again, as we just heard about Hezekiah, it said that there was no king like him that trusted the Lord in all of Israel. And he was that greatest king before him or like him in the kingdom of Judah. But let's see what it says about Josiah in verse 25. And like Josiah, unto him was there no king before him. Doesn't say the king of Israel, does it? Just says king. There's no king before him that turned to the Lord, and not to the Lord God of Israel, but to the Lord, with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. So both of these, we see that it's speaking of that there was no king like them before or after. Now, we understand that they were both the kings of Judah during this time, but the description is very different. And it's very sweet because as we go on and we'll see these differences in these two kings, there's little specific things that really are beautiful that'll jump out. That'll show you that there are the full overcomers of the Old Testament and the full overcomers of the New Testament. But isn't that beautiful as it says, like unto him there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. I think about that, and maybe Josiah, as it's speaking of here, maybe he had the most perfect heart of all the kings. Maybe this was the one, praise God, that exceeded even in the much the more. Maybe this was the king that represented the better thing. What do you think? Do you see the encouragement here? Because you'd say, no, wait a second. David had the perfect heart. And then Hezekiah, he had a wonderful heart. And again, and he was none like him of all the kings of Judah. But then it even got to more when we got to Josiah of all the kings. it just keeps going and keeps going. And that's, I thank the Lord. It touches my heart to think, Lord, speak to us, continue, take these deep things of God, make them ours. And see, we see here, it says that he surpassed every king before him and after him in not turning from the Lord. And then it goes back and it talks about his heart, his soul, and his might. I mean, we're getting deep. We're talking about everything about his life. It was all about him. And we're going to see in that testimony of that heart that comes forth. And notice this, everything about these kings, it lays out the heart first. And then it talks about the acts. See, the acts don't precede the heart. It's the heart first. And then everything comes forth, see. Because the working is the love. The working's the grace. The working's the heart. It's that willing participant. It's that willing wife that wants to add to the usefulness of the husband. It's the husband, as I say, that'll go in there and willingly do dishes or vacuum because of love. This is it. But it's love first. Everything else follows. And this is what's so glorious about this. But that's where I love this for us. It's the better thing. And I want you to know this too. This was an 8-year-old king when he began to reign. See, this is glorious again. It was like the younger one that came in. We're like the last. We're the runt of the litter. We're getting ready. This is it. We're the remnant. Praise the Lord. We're the 8-year-old remnant. And think of that 8 again. That's the bridal number. That's the number that was in the ark, the ones that'll be lifted out. God is not a respecter of person. And I thank God. I see some young ones taking it here. But this king surpassed maybe even David's heart, with all his soul, with all his might. Isn't that glorious? He's all in all. I'd like to go on tonight and give you more because this is just more and more and more. But it's there. And that's what's so glorious about this study and exciting. I pray it's touching you as well, and just the encouragement. And you know, again, Hezekiah said he trusted. Josiah said he turned. And then just go after it. Put it all out there. Be fully committed. If you want to invest everything in one thing, this is it. And it's a real wonderful, simple investment. Just believe in the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Let's be dismissed. Praise the Lord. Stand up.